Lord, let's pray. Father, we would bow before thee in the Savior's name at the close of another day to give thee our heartfelt thanks for every mercy that has come from thine hand. Again, thou hast preserved us on those dangerous roads. Thou hast given us health and strength and soundness of mind and body. And here in thy mercy, the greatest of all blessings has come upon us, enabled another time to listen to the gospel in all its simplicity. No doubt there are many in our world who have never heard the gospel in all its beauty. But in thy goodness and kindness, thou art allowing many tonight to hear it another time. In all probability tonight within these walls, there are those who have heard it times without number. Then there are those maybe who have never heard it before. And we're looking to thee this night that God in grace will help us to make the gospel clear and plain. It's the good news from heaven, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and was buried and raised again the third day according to the Scriptures. It offers hope to every sinner in this world. There's a pardon full, free and eternal. What a message we carry. Father, we ask for help tonight to carry it with dignity. For the mortals who stand before the people, search our hearts ere we go before those who are yet in their sins. That God in grace might give us words from heaven tonight, that we might bear the testimony of the gospel with clarity, that there might be no confusion in the ears or in the hearts of sinners as they listen to the message again proclaimed. Blessed God, we're looking for divine help tonight. And while we give thee thanks for everyone gathered here in their meeting, we long for the presence of our God. That which makes a meeting is when God draws near. And the atmosphere of heaven is realized when saints and sinners appreciate that God is in this place. Why we appreciate the building itself is only a wooden structure. But we're gathered here in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we have a divine right according to thy word to ask heaven to bless the word of God read. We're looking to thee tonight not only to presence thyself with us, but to move amongst us. And to search out a heart tonight, that some poor sinner might learn their need of a Savior. And learning that need, put their trust in him for time and eternity. What potential there is in one meeting. Soul could be changed and fitted for heaven and home at the end of the journey of life. Father, we're now coming to the end of a fourth week. Thou knowest all these matters. We thought by this time we'd have heard news again of salvation. But still we're waiting. Still we're looking toward heaven. Would it please God tonight to reach down and to save a precious soul? Then we pray for the district and those who haven't come who were invited. We long to see them here under the sound of the word. Remember every person in Lima Valley tonight. May God move in this locality and bring many souls to Christ. We pray for the gospel across the wide acres of earth, faithful men again proclaiming it, wherever it's told out tonight. In honor of thy Son, would it please God to save precious souls. We now commit ourselves to thee for divine help and guidance in our Savior's peerless name.
Amen.
Amen. Now number 337, please. Number 337. What sacred fountain yonder springs out from the throne of God, which all our covenant blessings springs, 'tis Jesus, precious blood. It was verse 2, was in my mind much this evening. What mighty sum paid all my debt, when charged with guilt I stood, and half my soul at freedom set, 'tis Jesus, precious blood. We'll try to stand while people are coming in to sing this hymn.
337.
Thank you.
pleasure for me to make all welcome tonight to our gospel meeting. No doubt there are those here who have come from a distance. There are those who are local, and we're glad to see you all. If this is your first time, we make you doubly welcome. I trust you'll not feel out of place in a gospel meeting, because the message that we proclaim will not be interfering with any man's religion, nor where they go on a Lord's Day. We're not here to criticize. We're here to proclaim the simple, pure message of the gospel, how it is possible upon earth for an individual to know that their sins are forgiven, that they're heaven-born and heaven-bound. The meetings are convened that souls might be saved, and we're looking for God again to make bare his hand in salvation. Now we continue another week in the will of the Lord. 4 weeks will be gone tonight into eternity. Opportunities that you have had are past. This is a present opportunity. We would encourage you tonight, if you're concerned about the matter of salvation, to get a settle in this meeting. Procrastination is a thief of time. And I would say tonight, if you would like to be saved, you could be saved through simple faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. In the will of the Lord, we trust it to be the mind of the Lord to continue another week. And we ask you, if you can at all, if God spares you, to attend these meetings. There's a sacrifice to be made. The two men that stand before you know are just working men. We have to sacrifice a little. We trust you will sacrifice a little of your time and be with us with the Gospel Lord's Day 7:30 during the week, Monday till Friday, 8 till 9, and a prayer meeting before each meeting at 7:30 in the porter cabin beside the hall. Now we'll turn to the scriptures again tonight, to the Gospel of Luke, please, in chapter 7. The Gospel of Luke and chapter 7. These are the words of the Lord Jesus at verse 41. He's speaking a parable. And in that parable he relates, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. It's that phrase, when they had nothing to pay. Now over, please, to Philemon. Philemon comes in before Hebrews and after Titus. It's the epistle of Paul to Philemon. It was really a little letter that was sent by the hand of Onesimus to Philemon. It was written by Paul. And we're going to read verse 18, or from verse 18, a few words. Paul says concerning Onesimus, if he hath wronged thee, or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. We know the Lord will bless this public reading from his precious word. I suppose I'd be right in assuming that everyone within these walls tonight would hope to be in heaven when time will be no more. Your presence at a gospel meeting would indicate that within your heart is a measure of concern and a measure of realization that beyond this world there is a heaven. That beyond this world there is a hell. And there are only those two abodes in eternity. And every right-thinking individual would like to be in heaven when time will be no more. But can I say to you tonight on the authority of this scripture that if you and I are going to be in heaven, there has to be a starting point along the journey of life. We were not born with a fitness for heaven. As we came into this world, the Bible would tell us that we were born in sin. The psalmist could say, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. That's how I came in. That's how you come in. The Bible tells us in the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 3, that there is no difference, for all have sinned. Therefore, if humanity wants to be in heaven, that's a God-given desire to the man or to the woman. Because no man in his natural standing nor his natural thinking will seek after God. The Bible tells us that. There's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God. So if you have within your heart a measure of desire, an interest when time will be no more to be in heaven, that is a God-given desire. And I trust tonight you will appreciate that that desire is not often experienced. If you were to go around in the valley tonight, later on, maybe at 10, 11 o'clock, the discos will all be packed. They'll not be able to get them all in on some occasions. You know what they do? They open the fire escape and let some of them out to get the money at the door. They can never get them all in. No interest in the gospel. No interest in eternity. No interest in heaven. But in God's grace tonight, you're found in a gospel meeting. You see, I'm here tonight to please a friend. I'm here tonight to please my mother. I'm here tonight to please my uncle or a relation of some sort. No, you're not. You're here tonight because God in his matchless grace moved in your life and has allowed you to hear a message that millions have never ever heard. There are billions in our world tonight, and there's thousands and millions who have never heard the gospel. This is the good news of God, how a person, a sinner of Adam's ruined race, can be fitted for heaven and home at the end of the journey of life. So what I would like to bring before you, I trust, will be simple. I would like to try and get down tonight to the youngest child, because we're not here to preach sermons. We're here to tell the message of the gospel, that men and women, boys and girls, might appreciate their need of a Savior and learn, unless I'm born again, I will never, ever be in heaven. Whenever the Lord Jesus Christ was here upon earth, he was teaching people by parables. And whenever he spoke this parable, here's what it is. It says, a certain man had two debtors. One owed 500 pence and one owed 50 pence. And he says, when they had nothing to pay, you know, it wasn't so much that whenever they were freely forgiven. No, that's not the point he's making. He says they had nothing to pay. Let me put it to you simply. They had nothing. Absolutely nothing. To put it in modern terms, they were bankrupt sinners, bankrupt people. They owed a debt of one owed a debt of 500 pence and one owed a debt of 50 pence. And they had nothing. Between the two of them, they couldn't get one penny. Absolutely nothing had they. You know, we're living in a day when people don't worry about debt. Some people, you know, I know the older stuff were different. Some people couldn't have slept in their bed, and rightly so, if they owed some money. Money. These things have got to be settled in time and since, but there are people among us today, don't worry about debt. And the Lord draws the illustration from everyday life. He says, a certain man had two debtors. There was two men who owed him money. One owed him a great sum of 500 pence. One had a smaller account of 50 pence. And he says, neither of the two of them had anything. They had absolutely nothing. Now here's the illustration that Christ's bringing out. The 500 pence debtor is an illustration of the person who is deeply engrossed in sin. The 50 pence debtor is a person who's not gone so far into sin. But they're both debtors. They both owe the man money. And they both are on the same platform. They both have nothing. Absolutely nothing. Now I want to ask you something tonight. Would you judge yourself to be a 500 pound debtor? You say, well, who do you think you're telling to? Are you telling me that I'm as bad? Oh, that's how people judge people, isn't it, you see? That is how people judge sin, by comparison. If I could just might compare myself with my neighbor. You see, we have a person you might say lives next door. And I would say, there are 500 pounds there. And they have a boy, and he's definitely one. That's not the point of the passage. The point of the passage is, are you a debtor? It's a debtor. You might say, listen, I live a moral, upright life. And I would not like to say I was a 50 pence debtor. Would you be a 10 pence debtor? Would you be a 5 pence debtor? Because if you are, you're just a debtor. You see, the Bible makes it abundantly clear that humanity all stands on the one platform. Every one of us. Rich, poor, old or young. You see, it's not the amount of sin that you've committed, it's what you are is the problem. Sinner. You see, who do you think you are? No, hold on a wee minute. I'm putting myself among you, for I'm just one. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus, the most religious specimen the world ever produced. He says, Nicodemus, except a man's born again, he'll never be in heaven. And that night, standing before the Lord Jesus, Nicodemus, with all his religion, you know, he discovered, I'm a debtor. And I have absolutely nothing. You say, Willie, If I was to give up all that I had been trusting in from my childhood, I would have nothing. I want to tell you something on the authority of this book. If you have in Christ the mother what you're depending on, you have nothing. That's solemn. Absolutely nothing in the light of an ever-ending eternity. You either are saved through the blood of Christ or you have nothing. You would say, well, I would read my Bible and I would go to the gospel hall or I would go to my church and I would say my prayers morning, noon and night. So if I tell you something, according to this Bible of mine and yours is the same, if you have in Christ, you have absolutely nothing. You are void of hope for eternity. You're a debtor. That's why I read over Philemon, you know. I think this is a tremendous illustration of the gospel. This is the gospel in all its simplicity. Because here I can see a sinful wrong. Listen to what it says. If he hath wronged thee, sinful wrong. You see, sin is wrong. You say, but I have it wrong, my neighbor. You can go around in the valley tonight. You can go around the district, you can go across my workmates, and I run my business absolutely straight. And I want to tell you something. We need more people like that. And you could say, listen, I can lay my head upon the pillow, and I haven't wronged one individual I know of. Tell me this. Have you ever wronged God? Did you hear that? I'm not asking you if you ever wronged your family or your mother, father, or your neighbor. Have you ever wronged God now? Have you ever committed one sin against God? You see, God doesn't measure sin by comparison. He measures sin by holiness. God who sits upon that throne is absolutely holy. You know what he said in his word? The thought of foolishness is sin. Have you ever had a foolish thought? For a man to know to do good and to do it not is sin. Tell me, have you ever wronged God? For if you have wronged God, then you're a debtor. This is a sinful wrong. This sin is rising all the day up before God. I'm a debtor before God. I've wronged God. You say, but listen, I might have one sin for the man out of the garden. Just one. See, we believe this whole book from Genesis to Revelation. We don't worry about the scientist. We believe the Bible. Whenever Adam sinned, one sin put him out. That one sin barred Adam out. God's not going to lower his standard to accommodate you, you know. Because if God lowered his standard one iota, he would cease to be God. And God can never cease to be what he ever was and ever will be. Absolutely holy. And heaven's a holy place. And the Bible says nothing that defileth. Whatever end they're in. So are you a debtor tonight? I'm a debtor to mercy alone. Man, you know, whenever it dawned upon my soul that I was a debtor, I put my trust in Christ. I owe him a debt tonight. That's why I'm here to preach the gospel. I'm not trying to pay my way to heaven, you know. But it's a debt of love I owe. Because he saved me as a boy and fitted me for heaven. Oh, that you might learn tonight in this gospel meeting, I have sinned a wrong against God. Hope you appreciate you have God to make you know. This is not, see, people say, in 1999, we need the spirit of forgiveness. Our politicians say this. Can we not forgive? Let us forgive. Well, that's the way they're talking today, isn't that right? But forgiveness always costs. You see, for this man to forgive these 500 pence debtor and the 50 pence debtor, it wasn't absolutely free. He forgave them frankly, but not freely. Not that they had to pay it, no. You see, if someone owed you £500, and you went for it and they said, look, between you and me, I have absolutely nothing. And you look into their eyes and say, I'm going to forgive you. Who would pay?
you would pay. It will cost you. In order for you to forgive the debtor, you have to bear the expense. You have to take on board the debt. You have to write off the debt. Your 500's gone. So if God's going to forgive you, what about your debt? Is he going to overlook it? Oh no. God will never overlook one sin. He's unchanging in his person, and he's unchanging in his holiness. And that sin, 1 50-pence debtor or 500, makes no difference. Maybe you look at yourself and you say, listen, I'm not good enough for heaven, and I'm not bad enough for hell. That's not the question. The question is, are you a debtor? 1p, 10p, as many p's you want. Are you a debtor? Or are you not? Here's a man, he was a debtor, you know, his name is Onesimus. And he stole money from his master, Philemon. And away he cleared. And for some other crime, I believe, he was put in jail. He was right beside the Apostle Paul, and he heard the gospel, and he could see it. And he told the Apostle Paul, he says, he must have told Paul. Paul says, if he ever wronged you, he owned his guilt, you see. Have you ever owned your guilt? Have you ever owned up in the presence of God? I'm not fit for heaven. I need to be born again. Now your conscience will tell you something, that you're a sinner. Here's what the Bible says. Be sure your sin, your very own sin, will find you out to be what you are, and that's a sinner. Sin will prove you to be a sinner. Now here's a man, and he's a sinful wrong. But you know what a soaring debt? If he oweth the ought, he sinned against his master, but he stole his money. He owed him money. If he oweth the ought. Now let me tell you something. Not only are you a debtor at this moment of time, but the debt's getting bigger every day. The debt is getting higher and higher and higher. You say, there's bound to be some way I could pay it. Absolutely none. You haven't got the currency. Because you have nothing. Absolutely nothing. Romans 5:6, we are without strength, for when we were yet without strength. You say, there must be some way I could pay my way to heaven. Not at all. The redemption of the soul is precious, the Bible says. Man must leave it alone forever. How can a sinner pay? You say, by penance. But supposing it was by penance. Whenever you have your penance done, as you walk away from your last day of it, you can have a sinful thought. There's a debt again. How are you going to erase the debt? Can't pay. And it's getting higher and higher and higher every day. Job says, my witness is in heaven. My record is in heaven. My record. Have you a record? You see, there's some people and the law has a record of their past. And there's some people that the law doesn't have a record of their past. But I can tell you, God has a record of everybody's past. He has a record of your past. You know what he's going to do? He's going to show you it. And he's going to hold you responsible for it. One day if you die in your sins, he's going to bring your past before you. That debt that rose higher and higher. The longer you live, the greater the debt if you're not saved. Well, let me tell you something. Let me tell you about a spotless record, because Paul says, mine account. You see, here's a man and he owed money to his master. And he had nothing, absolutely nothing. Paul, he says, he sends a wee letter to his master and he says, Onesimus, take you this letter to Philemon. He says, this letter will tell him something. To charge it to my account. See, there's no debt in my account, he says. My account's spotless! There's only one with a spotless account, you know. That's God's blessed Son. Into this world came God's eternal Son. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. And he came down here and he lived for 33 and a half years, a perfect man. And there wasn't one penny of debt. Why? Because he could not sin. He's the only one who lived who can never sin. And that account, he can say to God, charge it to my account. I'm spotless. You see, this is substitution. This is the one taking the place of another. This is the one dying in the sinner's stead. You see, there's a debtor. And Paul, he says, charge it to my account. I'm the debtor. And I can't pay for it. I have absolutely nothing. I haven't got heaven's currency. Oh, the debt's so big I can never pay it. The Lord Jesus Christ says to heaven, charge well his debt to my account. You know what heaven did? Exactly that. God charged my account to Christ on Calvary. Whenever he was on Golgotha's tree, he paid my debt. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed the whitest snow. You're looking at a man tonight whose debt's all paid. I'm not talking about finances of this world. I'm talking about heaven's currency. All my debt against heaven is cleared. And I never paid one penny. Because I had nothing. Absolutely nothing to pay. I had nothing to pay with. I was helpless. I was hopeless. I was a bankrupt sinner. But Jesus said, charge it to my account. Then we have a settled account. I will repay it. I think I see Philemon. And he gets out of jail after serving his sentence for some other crime. And you know where he's going? He's going back to his master. And here he's coming down the road, you know, and he can hear him singing. And as he comes near home, near Colossae, I step out of the shadows. I say, excuse me, Onesimus, where are you going? I'm going home to Philemon. You have some egg on you, boy. He'll come back to the man you stole the money. Yes. He'll never accept you. There's no way you'll get in. The law will get you, boy. You'll have to pay the price. They say, hold you all a wee minute. See that there? See that letter? Come you with me till you see me get in. And he goes right to the door. Before he knocks it, he'll say, I want to tell you something, will I? Not only am I going to get in here, but I'm going to have a better relationship with this man than I ever had. And I watch, door knocks. Philemon opens it. Onesimus stands there and he just hands him a letter. He reads the letter. Onesimus, after he reads the letter, Paul says in this letter, if this man has wronged you, or roweth the yacht, put it to mine account. Philemon opens the door, he says, come on in. There's nothing to pay. You're welcome home. That's why I'm for heaven tonight. See, God cannot put me out. God cannot keep me out. I have a letter here. You know what it says? The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth from all sin. And I present that letter to heaven. And I'm bound to get in. Well, why the debt I can't pay? I have absolutely nothing. But I have a letter that tells me all it's paid. I'm heaven born. I'm heaven bound. Is that religion? That's salvation. May you have it tonight.
Let me read first of all the Gospel according to Luke and chapter 13. Luke's Gospel, chapter 13. Luke 13 and verse number 1. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things. I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. For those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And he spake also this parable, a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it, and if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shall cut it down. Over to chapter 19, please. Luke chapter 19, verse 1, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Finally, in Luke's Gospel chapter 12 for a verse or two. And verse number 16, And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and I will bestow, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So I would like to read this evening, and I trust that God will bless the reading from his word with what we have heard already. Now for just a few moments at the close of the gospel meeting this evening, I want to look at these three chapters that we have read in your hearing. And in them I want to see three important time periods that God would have us understand and know. Those who were here at the beginning of this week, I trust, will remember that on Lord's Day evening, we looked at Luke's Gospel chapter 4, and we looked at the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, and here's what he said, that he had come to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And we saw that God is a time when he's calling men and women and boys and girls. God is a time when he offers salvation to those that are in their sins. And God is a time when he deals with individuals and he speaks to them and he brings them near to himself that he might speak to them. And the purpose is this, that he might offer to you as an individual salvation, forgiveness of sins, a home in heaven at the end of life. But you know, God's time is now, and God's time period is always limited, and the offer of salvation is not one that will always persist. And you know, your day of opportunity, my friend, will end very soon. Oh, it could end tonight, and we'll see that before the meeting is over, if God will give us help. I want us then to look, first of all, at the first time period we find in Luke's Gospel chapter 13, and we want to look at a year of reprieve. Because we find, as we look at the parables that the Lord Jesus spoke, he spoke of a fig tree, and he spoke of the owner of the vineyard coming seeking fruit, and of him giving the order to cut it down, because for 3 years it had borne no fruit. And the dresser, he interceded on behalf of that fig tree, and he said, Let it alone. This year also, a year of reprieve, another time of opportunity, a time when God waits. But you know, in Luke's Gospel chapter 19, we want to look not at a year, but we want to look at a day. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, he has come and he has met with a seeking sinner. The seeking Savior has met a seeking sinner, a little man called Zacchaeus. The Lord Jesus has entered and he's passing through Jericho. He's going on the way to Calvary. In a few pages of the Bible, we find that he has gone out to be crucified. He'll never be in Jericho again. He's passing through for the very last time. And this is a special day in the history of Jericho, the day that the Lord Jesus
passed by for the last time. It's a special day in the life of the occupants of that great city. And my friend, it was a special day in the life of the little man Zacchaeus, because out of all the masses, he was the one in the city center that found the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it would be a great day today if it was the day that you got saved. A day of rejoicing, I have called it. And I want to say, maybe you've risen up this morning and it wasn't within your thoughts that this would be the day that you would start for heaven. Maybe you've come along tonight and you just came along and you're not quite sure why you've come. Somebody has brought you, you've been invited, and you find yourself this Friday night in an unusual place, in a gospel meeting. My friend, it could well be, I believe it is so, that God is speaking and God is directing His Spirit towards hearts in this gospel meeting. And what a night it would be, what a day it would be, if this was the day of salvation for a soul in the scruggy ruin of a body. It would be a day of rejoicing in your heart, be a day of rejoicing in our hearts. My friend, it would be a day of rejoicing in heaven. This book of Luke that we have been looking at in the week that's past, we find that chapter after chapter there is rejoicing. Rejoicing over souls that are saved. And this little man, he received the Savior joyfully. And he was saved in a moment of time. But you know, in Luke's Gospel chapter 12, we want to look at a night of removal. Because we have another man. And he's had many a day that has gone over his shoulder, and many a year that he has come and gone around the farm there. But you see, he didn't know it. And the people around the countryside didn't know it. But he had arrived at his last day. I call this a day of removal. Here's a man, and he'd likely had many opportunities. And he had come to the very end of the line. And he wasn't rich toward God. He wasn't saved. And you know, he looked forward and he said, I have many years, he had many plans, he had a pension plan, he had barns, he had all the plans that he would make. But you know, I want to tell you, they all counted for naught, because God said, not many years, but thou art a fool. This night thy soul is required of thee. I don't know whether this is your first gospel meeting, but my friend, I tell you, it might well be the last time you'll ever sit in a gospel meeting. And this could be the night of removal for one soul in this room in Limavady tonight. And so the burden rests upon my shoulder to warn you to flee from the wrath which is to come. And to tell you tonight, it's time you were saved. Because God is calling, and you can be saved in the gospel meeting in the very seat where you sit. A year of reprieve. You see, the context of this Gospel chapter 13 was that God has been speaking in the countryside where the Savior was found at that moment. You see, God speaks in many ways, and God uses many, many things that He might bring His message to men and women and boys and girls. And in this occasion, He has spoken in tragedies that were found in the countryside. You see, there was those people, and Herod had taken them, and he had mingled their blood with the sacrifices. There was an awful atrocity that was committed. And you know, the people came to the Lord Jesus, and they wondered, were these people sinners, above all the sinners, that such a thing should happen to them? And then, you see, there was another group of people, and a tar, it fell upon them. Just this freak of nature. And this great tar, it fell upon them and slew them there in Siloam, near Jerusalem. And the people wondered what it meant. Could it be that God was judging sinners and cutting them down? You know, the Lord Jesus Christ said, He said, don't you look at those other people, and don't you judge their sins, and don't you ask why they were taken away. Was it because of their sin? He said, I want to tell you, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He was saying God is using those incidents that He might speak to the souls of others. I wonder, is there one in the meeting tonight that in days and weeks that are past, God has been speaking to your soul? Or you haven't realized that it was God. You haven't known that God was drawing near. But I know that in the weeks that are past around the town of Limavady, God has been speaking. And God has been removing souls tragically and suddenly taking them away. And you maybe wonder about them tonight, but God would have it that He would speak to your soul, that He would warn you to flee from the wrath which is to come. and to say, except you repent, you'll all likewise perish. You see, God demands that you repent of your sins. No matter who you are, we've been hearing it already tonight. There's not one of us in the room that's not a sinner, not born a sinner. Every one of us was born that way. And if we're ever going to be in heaven, there must be a moment when our sins are forgiven. Or you say, I was brought into a church when I was born, and so I was a Christian, my friend. I don't mind what that church was, and I don't mind where you go on a Sunday, but look, within the confines of that book, that teaching is not found. This book tells me that no matter who we are, we all start off life as sinners. And if we're ever going to be in heaven, we must be done with sin, and we must have our sins forgiven, and we must be washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell me, are you saved tonight? This is the bottom line of these gospel meetings. This is a matter that we want to get to. I want to ask you tonight, are you going to heaven or are you going to hell? Oh, you say, I can't really tell. I could never really decide and judge just this Friday night. I would need to wait till the end of the journey. My friend, the end of the journey is far too late to find out where you're going. But I want to tell you, in this gospel meeting, you can find out where you're going. If you're saved, you're going to heaven according to the book. And if you're not saved according to this book, you're on the way to hell. Now tell me, have you got located? Have you found out where you're going? And my friend, does it disturb you that you're not on the way to heaven? Does it disturb you tonight if you die in your sins and were taken away like these people in this gospel chapter 13? In a moment of time, you would be on the wrong side of the fixed gulf. You see, these people were spared while others were taken away. And they were spared that they might repent, just like the fig tree. You see, we have this insight into the workings of God and the Holy Spirit that none of us really understand and know anything about. And you know, it is amazing to my mind to understand the divine person's work in the lives and in the hearts and in the souls of men and women. And here we have this fig tree, and it's planted in a vineyard. And for 3 years it sits in that place of privilege with all the attention that would be given to it. And the owner, he comes year after year, and he's seeking fruit. And he's looking that he might find fruit. And he says, there's none. I've come 3 years seeking fruit, and I find none. A fruitless tree. You know, if you're not saved tonight, as far as God's concerned, you're just a fruitless tree. Oh, you might say, you look at my life, man. And if you look at me, you'll see the good things I've done. And you'll see how I am upstanding and outstanding in the community. And the people of Lima Valley look up to me as I walk up the street. And they know that I'm so good. And they know that I do so many good things for people. My friend, if you're not saved, you're just a fruitless tree. And as far as heaven's concerned, not one thing you've ever done will count towards the great day when you come to the end of the journey. The only thing that counts is your name written in heaven. And your name could be in every register in earth. But if you're not saved, my friend, you're lost. And you're on the way downward to the pit. And you see the man comes looking for fruit and he finds none. He says, cut it down. It's only covering the ground. It's only in the road. There's others that will bring forth fruit. You know, the gracious dresser, he says, Lord, let it alone this year also. Give it another year, a year of reprieve. I believe that I'm looking into the faces of so many, and God has given you a year of reprieve. What an amazing thing to see so many faces look up at me tonight, and God has brought you to another gospel meeting. And this very day that is almost done, myriads have been cut down. Myriads have gone over the boundary line. Tonight they're in hell. And millions of them never heard the name of Jesus. Millions of them never sat in one single gospel meeting. They never learned one single verse of Scripture. They never heard the name of Jesus. And here you are tonight, and God in grace and in mercy and in love for your soul, He has you in this gospel meeting. That you might hear the message. That you might hear, although you have nothing to pay, Jesus paid it all long, long ago. What a privilege. I wonder what you're doing with your opportunity tonight. I wonder, are you just waiting for another 6 or 7 minutes till we close
and you get out and forget all about it. For I wonder if you made up your mind tonight. God has given me one more night. Mm-hmm. And God has given me one more gospel meeting. I'm not going to let it slip that there's such a thing as salvation. I have it tonight. I never sleep until I'm saved. That's the kind of people get saved, you know. People who dilly-dally and people who put it off and say, well, I'm going to get saved before the meeting's finished. I tell you, friend, you'll never get saved. But if you want to be saved and you want it now, you can have it. Right now in the seat where you sit. You trust the Savior. What was the purpose of the reprieve? That it might bring forth fruit. Why has God spared you another day? Why has God given you breath another night? That He might give you space to repent. And that the Spirit might deal with you. See, the dresser says, I think about it. And I've done it. And I've given every opportunity. It'll get special treatment. You're getting special treatment. Oh, not because it's Willie Fenton and Wesley Martin. We count for nothing. And we're absolutely worthless. But you're getting special treatment because you're hearing the greatest message that is so ever heard. And if you die in your sins, my friend, your hell will be a dreadful hell. To come from the scrubby road in Limavady and heard that a Savior loves you and longs to save you, and to turn your back and to plunge beneath the depths of eternal fire. The period of the reprieve, he says, this year also, it's limited. Oh, you say, does that mean I've got a year? My friend, you mightn't even got an hour. You know what the purpose of this is to tell us? That God's period of waiting is strictly limited. And when the moment came that the keeper of the vineyard would come another time, and he would have another look, and he would say, time up. Cut it down. I don't know whether tonight is your last night. I don't know whether this is your last opportunity. I can't say. I never could say. That's in the hand of God. Divine persons, I want to tell you, have already decided the moment that you will leave this scene of time. What a tragedy if you die in your sins and never, ever be in heaven. You know, I want you to think of a day of rejoicing. What a day it was in Jericho when the Savior came for the very last time. You see, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Just outside the city of Jericho, there was a blind man. And he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. You see, he's moving on, and he's not stopping, and he's not waiting. He's just going through, and he's seeking sinners. We have a seeking Savior. How do I know he's a seeking Savior? Because he tells us in verse 10. I want to say verse 10 of Luke's Gospel chapter 19 is the highlight of the book. It's the headline verse in the whole book. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. I look down tonight and I see many souls and I perceive you're lost. I perceive that you're in your sins tonight. I perceive that you never trusted Christ. I want to tell you tonight, there's a Savior seeking for a sinner like you. Oh yes, we have to tell you, if you die in your sins, you'll be in hell. But it's with great joy that we tell you that you can be saved tonight. We can tell you this very Friday night that there's a Savior and He longs to save you. Sometimes preachers preach and you would think that God just waits, that He might cut men down or He might damn their soul. I want to tell you, God waits and God longs and God seeks to save your soul. And I reiterate it again, it seems to be the theme of these meetings. God has brought you here that He might give you the message and He might tell you and He might show you that He's seeking and He loves you and He longs to save you. If you come tonight, whoever you are, you say, I'm nobody. My friend, not any of us is anybody. We're all nobody. But I want to tell you, if you come, this book tells me, and this gospel tells me, if you come as a guilty sinner tonight, there'll be joy in heaven. Joy in the presence of the angels. If we're one sinner that repenteth, He's seeking for you tonight. But you know, there was another speaker in Jericho.
with a little man called Zacchaeus.
There was only one that we read of in the chapter that got to Christ, and it was the one soul that was seeking.
I wonder, is there a seeking sinner in the meeting tonight?
Oh, I don't mean somebody that would like to be saved sometime. This man meant to get it that day. He said there's no more days. He said there's no more time. He said it's the last time. And he locked the office door and he ran along the street. And he said, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. I'm going to see him.
At all costs, I'm going to see him. And he went up into the sycamore tree to see Jesus who he was. For he was to pass that way. A sinner who was an absolute dead earnest. Tell me, are you in earnest tonight? Oh, you say, I really want to be saved. My friend, if you really want to be saved, you'll be saved tonight. Because God really wants to save you, and if you really want it, you can have it. You know why you're not saved tonight? Because you don't really, really want it. You want it, but you'd rather have your sin. You want it if you can have the sin of the world, or have your companions, or have your pleasures. You can't have both. You must want it above all else. Let me tell you about the stealing contact. The saver says the case. Make haste and come down, for the day must abide at thy house. And he came down, and there at the bottom of the tree, he received them joyfully. He put his faith in the Savior, and he took the Savior of his word. He said, today I must abide. The case that he's coming to my house today. He believed the Savior. That's what sinners do when they trust him. The Lord Jesus says, and the Bible says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And the little boy answered, God at his word. I believe that when he died on that cross, he died for guilty sinners. I believe more that when he died on that cross, he died for me. And God says, I shall be saved. And I simply took God at his word. I believe Jesus saves, and his blood washes whiter than snow. What a day it would be. My friend, you have no conception what a day it would be if you trusted Christ this Friday night. You could go home tonight and you could pillow your head and say, welcome eternity. Farewell mortality. Welcome eternity. Jesus is mine. Heaven is my hope. I'll never be in hell. God's my Father. Christ my Savior. What a day, glorious day that would be. I wonder, are you going to trust him tonight? Or I wonder in a moment, are you going to go out the door? Not tonight. See, the man in Luke's Gospel chapter 12, we're going to have to leave him for the time's up. You see, he had many plans. But one thing was missing. God was in none of them. He left God out of his life. He left God out of his reckoning. He left God out of his plans. He made assumptions about the future. He said there's much goods. There's many years. Maybe you're here tonight, and as the world would say, you haven't made. You've just about arrived. And you say, I'm going to take it easy. I'm going to cruise now to the end of a little journey, and I'm going to have it comfortable. Much goods, many years. The underlying assumptions of his little business plan were flawed. You know why? Because heaven was watching. And God said, thou fool, this night. Just this night is all you have, young man. Thy soul is required of thee. And a man had no savior. Tell me if this was the night. Sometimes we sing in a hymn, what if thy word were past? This night should be thy last. Where would thy soul be cast? Where hide thy face? Are you ready to die tonight? This is where we want to get to. We want to get right down to facts and to realities. And I want to ask everybody down this side of the room tonight now, if it was this night, the 26th of February 1999, are you ready to die? Would you be happy, content, to go out into eternity as you are? Or do you need God's salvation? Tell me, are you saved tonight? Have you got what God requires? I don't care what you think you've got. Have you got what God requires? Are you born again? If you're born again, you're going to heaven tonight. And if you're not born again, let me tell you kindly and tenderly, you're on the way downward to hell. I hope this will be a day of rejoicing. for many the soul and the body, shall we pray. Father, we come to thee just now at the close of the meeting. We give thee heartfelt thanks for this blessed gospel message another time. And we thank thee that the Lord Jesus Christ paid the mighty debt of the sinner on Calvary's cross when he died an atoning death. We thank thee that he was able to cry it is finished, bow his head, and dismiss his spirit. We thank thee for every soul that has heard thy word again tonight. We pray that thou wilt take up the word spoken, and by thy mighty power, apply it to the hearts of those who've come, and lead to Christ tonight. Father, don't let them linger any longer, but press them into the kingdom for thine own glory, in his worthy name. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 380. 380. Oh, do not let the word depart, and close thine eyes against the light. Poor sinner, harden not thy heart, thou wouldst be saved. Why not tonight? Tomorrow's sun may never rise to bless thy long deluded sight. This is the time. This is the time. Oh, then be wise. Thou wouldst be saved. Why not tonight? We'll sing verse 1, 2, 3, and 5. We'll leave out verse 4 and we'll rise to sing it over.
Oh, da, da, da.